The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. This is the second hour of the Outdoorsman Radio Show. I got a message during the break that wondered if I had enough caffeine this morning, and I guess the answer is correct if you have to ask that question. I have had enough caffeine, and I guess we'll see what happens here during the second hour, but I went and refilled the coffee cup, so, you know. It looks like it's going to be good. Joining us this morning is Eric Bittner, and Eric manages the Albert Powell Hatchery up there in Western Maryland, and we're going to talk about trout stocking. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning, Alan. How are you this morning?
Good. How are you?
Good. I'm doing fine. Doing much better this Saturday morning than I was last Saturday morning.
Yes, indeed. You're absolutely right. We all are, I hope. Yes, indeed. How much snow did the hatchery get?
We ended up getting roughly about 30 inches.
Oh, my gosh.
It took us about 4 days to get everything finally dug out.
Yeah. Now does that affect the outside? I'm sure it does. But, I mean, how does it affect the outside trout runs up there?
Well, when you get that kind of snow event, we kind of got to break things down to priorities, which, number one, being able to get to the raceways and get things open back up to start feeding the fish again.
Right.
To keep them on schedule, and then you just kind of fan out from there.
Yep.
Like I said, it was Thursday until we finally had everything pretty much dug out.
Right, right. Did you lose any fish?
It definitely makes it hectic for a little while.
Did you lose any fish?
No, we didn't lose any fish. The great thing with all that is we didn't have any power outages.
That's a good thing.
It's always in the back of our mind whenever we have any of these type of events.
Yeah, and this is the kind of things that the average person doesn't think about. You know, well, I wonder why the stocking truck didn't show up, or why are there less fish this year? And you know, look, these fish spend a lot of time outdoors, and when you get a weather event like that, and I guess that and what sub-zero temperatures are probably even worse.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're spring fed there, so the water's always 54 degrees. But as soon as anything comes out of contact with the raceway, it instantly freezes. So.
Yeah. Sure. Sure.
Yeah, we're always looking ahead of the weather, having to plan accordingly.
Sure.
You know, anytime there's any type of storms coming, we have generator backups, and that'll actually, when we lose power, it'll call our cell phones and to notify us that the power's out.
Wow.
We got to get in there as soon as possible.
Well, sure. Yeah, and work your way through all that mess, you know. And look, I've said it time and time and time again, that the folks that the boots on the ground, the fisheries people and the wildlife biologists, fisheries biologists, and the people that are involved in the Maryland Department of Natural Resources, some of the finest in the country, if not the finest. And you guys care about the resource, and that's the main thing.
Well, so, thank you. Yes, I appreciate that.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it's on the back of our mind 24/7. It's not like you can turn the lights out on a Friday evening and reopen on Monday morning.
Right, exactly.
24/7, constantly, you know, when you're dealing with a live product like that.
And that's true. And the average, like I said, the average guy doesn't even think about that. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. Hey, Eric, I gotta take a little thing here. We've got to give away a couple tickets to the Great American Outdoor Show.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to ask our listeners a question. And here's how this is going to work. I'll ask the question. You call in, and Bethany will take your answer to the question. The first correct caller goes on the air with me, and then there's a second part to the question, and you've got to answer that, and you'll win two tickets if the answer is correct. How's that sound, Eric? You got a little time for that?
Sounds good.
All right. Here's the question, ladies and gentlemen. And Bethany, are you ready? Let me give the phone number first, 410-922-6680. You have the answer, right, Bethany? I gave you the secret answer. All right, here's the question. What type of mouse walks on two legs? Wildlife question. What kind of mouse walks on two legs? 410-922-6680. If you get the correct answer, you will immediately go on the air and we'll ask the second part of the question. Okay, lines are open. Eric, we're back with you.
Okay,
so you've got trout inside, outside, and we've gone through the process before, but just give us a little rough idea on what happens from start to finish, where the fish come from, how you get them, how many there are, how many you raise, and then, you know, give us a life cycle process here.
Sure. We typically, up until this year, we would get our eggs right after the first of the year.
Right.
And we get them from Trout Lodge, which is out in the state of Washington.
Right.
And we roughly would get around 450,000 eggs. Those eggs come eyed, and we put them in, we set them up in incubators, put them to bed, so to speak, in trays of about 10,000 each. And then typically within about 7 days, they'll hatch out. And they'll stay in those trays for about 21 days and feed off of their egg sac until up until about 21 days, and then we'll put them in circular tanks that we have inside. And after they completely absorb that egg sac, they start to swim up, and that's what we call swim-up fry, and we'll begin feeding them at that stage.
Okay.
And it's a small dusting of food that they get. And they'll typically stay in those tanks up to about a month. And that usually runs us towards the end of February, and which is when we try to start doing some of our preseason stocking.
Okay.
Because after they get so big, you know, of course they use up all their space, and then we have to start moving them out, and we need the space outside. So we start our preseason stocking to create space out in our raceways. We have 19 concrete raceways outside.
Right.
And we start with stocking those out, and then those fish come out, and then they fall in right behind those. So the ponds never really close down, and we stock out throughout the spring. Last year, we did a total of 212,000 fish out of our facility.
Wow.
At 129,000 pounds of fish.
129,000 pounds?
Of fish, correct, yeah.
That's a lot of fish.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So they're roughly running 12 ounces or so. I mean, they're just under a pound.
Our target rate is about two fish to the pound.
Two to the pound, okay.
Piece. And we do everything by the pound, and we generally are stocking out 1.7 to 1.8 fish per pound, which is a little over half pound. And you're looking at about a 10 to 12-inch fish on average.
Yeah, sure, okay.
And then we also do, typically a 13 to 14,000, what we call our holdovers, which are fish that we carry over to the following year that are 2 years old, and they're running about a pound apiece, about 14 to 16 inches.
Nice, nice fish.
We'll throw some of them on the load.
Yeah.
Usually about a 7%. And then we also have 4 and 5 year old fish that are upwards to 8 to 10 pounds, and they can range about 30 inches in length.
Nice.
So we'll throw a few of them on the truck.
Wow.
As they go out.
Nice, nice.
Yeah, they're the big hitters. Everybody loves going.
Oh, sure. Now, those big fish, those big, huge fish, are they past their prime breeding age, or don't we breed them anymore?
We don't breed anything there. They did years ago.
Right.
But it's just not practical. It's so much cheaper.
Just to buy the eggs.
Just a fish. Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
Buy the eggs, I mean. You
yep.
know.
All right. Hang on there, Eric.
Sure.
We'll be right here with you. Let's talk to Wesley in Westminster. Good morning, Wesley. How are you?
I'm good, Alan.
Okay. Yeah. What kind of mouse walks on two legs?
Mickey Mouse.
Correct. Are you ready for the second part of the question?
Yeah, I hope so.
All right. What kind of duck walks on two legs?
Oh, I'm going to go with the Hunnell duck.
Well, guess what, Wesley? That's incorrect.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's true, but it's slightly incorrect. But either way, we're gonna make you a winner. We're going to give you a pair of tickets to the Great American Outdoor Show in Harrisburg, okay?
All right, that's it.
All right, but even though you failed on the second part, you were the first correct caller.
Okay.
Let's see what Fred has to say. Hang on there, Wesley. We're going to put you on hold and get your address, okay? There we go. Fred in Dundalk. Good morning.
Yes, sir.
What kind of mouse walks on two legs?
A Mickey Mouse.
Correct. Ready for the second part of the question?
Yes, sir.
What kind of duck walks on two legs?
I'm going to say all of them.
Yay, Fred, correct. You're absolutely right. You just won a pair of tickets, brother.
Outstanding.
Stay on the line, Beth, and you'll get your address, okay?
Thank you.
All right, buddy, thank you. Okay, Eric, you still with me?
Yes.
That was fun. Just for a minute, anyway. So let me back up here and kind of go over this one more time. You raise... How many fish did you say you raised last year again? 200,000, something?
Yeah, we raised and stocked out a grand total of 212,000 adult fish.
212,000 adult fish, okay.
Yeah, out of our facility. Statewide with Bear Creek Hatchery in Garrett County and Matiki, we did around 335,000.
335,000. Now, correct. I'm going to ask you, is that pretty much the same target for this year, the same amount?
Yes, we're targeted for 338,000 this year.
Okay, so that's how many fish are going to be raised, and the bulk of those will be stocked. You keep some fish in the facilities to maintain, I guess. Okay.
Right. Yeah. All right. 338,000 from our facility there at Albert Powell and Bear Creek and in Matiki as well.
Okay, got it. Now, when does the stocking... Okay, so you average a half a pound or a little less than a half a pound of fish when you put them out there, and these are 10 to 12-inch fish.
Yeah, it's a little over half a pound on
okay.
average.
All right, all legal, right?
Yes, everything's legal.
Everything is legal, so you're not going to catch an undersized trout unless it's a fish that is naturally reproduced, let's say. But in most of the put-and-take areas, that's not going to happen.
No, everything in put-and-take areas is legal.
Exactly.
There's no size limit on anything in the put-and-take area.
Okay, got it. Got it. Okay. So, we've got that. And then you keep some fish that are pretty nice size, 12, 14-inch fish that you add at a 7% rate onto the truck, right?
Correct, yeah. We call them what we call our holdover fish.
A holdover fish.
And they're typically at least a pound, maybe even more.
Okay.
Try to get as much weight on them as everything. Everything we do through the course of a year is monitored pretty much every other week.
Right.
We continually take samples of the fish, adjust the feed accordingly. At the adult fish, they usually take about a 1% of body weight is how much food they get a day.
Okay.
And our target is two fish to the pound. We can't go over that because of densities. It's a numbers versus size, you know. That we play there.
And you guys have this all figured out and have had it figured out for years. There's only so many fish that will fit in so small of a space.
Correct. Yep. Yeah. We can't get them. We have to be careful. We have to be careful not to get them too big too quick.
Right.
Or we can run into major issues with mortality.
Well, then you also have the waste problem, I'm guessing. What goes in doesn't always all come out, but some of it does. How do you deal with that system? How do you deal with that?
We have our cleaning regimen is pretty much weekly.
Uh-huh.
We'll get in each raceway. The concrete raceways there,
right.
The majority of them are 6 foot wide, 200 feet in length.
Right.
And the water depth's around 20 inches
right.
on average. Of course, it's shallower at the top and gets deeper as you go down.
Right.
And the guys will get in with brooms and sweep them out at the top. It takes generally around 45 minutes to an hour, depending on the spring flow, how much flow you have. Once you get down so far, we have a side valve that you open up and takes that dirt and sediment and everything to the treatment plant.
Right.
That MES, Maryland Environmental Service, they are in charge of,
right.
take care of, and then they come in twice a month and pump the sludge out.
Right.
And haul it off.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's pretty cool. I mean, you got the whole program there, and I mean, a lot of fish can make a lot of waste, and so
yeah. They constantly have to take water samples at our effluent, and for their end to make sure everything's clear. You know that we don't have too much effluent going out, but like I said, everything is pretty much caught in that waste treatment center.
Right. Gotcha. Okay.
And, the fish food is very efficient that we get. We've done feed conversions, and every time I've sat down and we figure out how much weight food we fed to the amount of weight we've gotten from the fish, and we pretty much for every 1.1 pounds of food that we throw in, we get a pound of fish growth. So,
well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's unbelievable how far they've come in the advancement of fish food. Like I said, the food we get from Melick in Pennsylvania and also Bio-Oregon with the smaller feeds, they're up in Maine. And it's a dusting to begin with, and by the time they become adults, they're getting like a 3/16 pellet. The sizes go up as the fish size goes up.
Okay, good. All right, well, hold on right there. We're going to take a little break bring some commercial messages to our listeners. And just stay right there on the line. Let's talk to Jill in Baltimore. She wants to make a point there. Jill, you still with us?
I'm with you.
All right. What other type of mouse walks on two legs?
A titmouse.
Congratulations. Thank you very much. I don't have anything for you to win except the admiration of all your listeners.
Well, and I didn't have any knowledge to answer the second question anyway.
Uh-huh.
Okay. But I just thought that was an interesting little factoid.
Thank you very much. We had a caller, a good friend of mine, who used to call the show from Cecil County. As a matter of fact, he was the fellow that invited me on the property where I've been hunting for 23 years. And Steve was a great guy. And we would talk about the birds and, you know, that we saw in the woods, you know, the wrens and the creepers and the, cardinals and everything. And Steve would call in and he would say, being from Cecil County, yeah, I was in a deer stand and we saw some wrens and saw some cardinals and saw some breast mice and, you know, so I thought it was pretty funny.
Oh, boo.
Boo. Well, thank you, Jill. Appreciate the call.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. Hey, there's a good answer. I like her. I like her a lot. So, all right, time for me to tell you one more time about Chesapeake Outdoors having a great sale on waterfowl and other hunting apparel, 40% off. Go check that out. I mean, Drake, that is what people love as far as waterfowl clothing, and it's 40% off. So go check that out at Chesapeake Outdoors right there on Route 50 East. That's exit 39B, Dominion Road, when you're headed eastbound on Route 50 right across the Bay Bridge. You'll see the sign on the road. Just get off the exit, go around the block, and you're in the parking lot. They have all the Mossberg firearms on sale, too, and they're closing them out. Mossberg firearms at great, great prices, and they've got some good models left. And then all the Avery duck decoys are on sale, too. So when you go in, make sure you tell them you heard about it on the Outdoorsman Radio Show. You want to look at the outdoor apparel, the clothing, the Drake, the duck decoys, and even pick up a nice CVA shotgun. And don't forget, while you're there, they got all kinds of accessories. Hey, if you're a successful waterfowl hunter, take your geese and ducks there. They'll pick them, they'll breast them, they'll do whatever you want done to them. Just had a whole load of them done from our hunt a couple weeks ago, and they did a beautiful job on breasting out all of our Canadas. Skin on, skin off, whatever you like, they'll do it. That's Chesapeake Outdoors, 410-604-2500, 410-604-2500 on Kent Island.
The world's largest outdoor sports show is back. It's the Great American Outdoor Show, presented by Outdoor Channel, February 6th to the 14th in Harrisburg, with something for the whole family celebrating the great outdoor tradition. An NRA country jam featuring Justin Moore, interactive exhibits, a world of family fun with celebrities, demos, games, contests, gear, and more. Chase the adventure at the Great American Outdoor Show. Tickets on sale now at greatamericanoutdoorshow.org.
Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie spray-on bedliners. You know, Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools and your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex Premium Bed Liner that looks great and offers UV protection, or the Linex Extra with Kevlar and Paint Match. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more. These guys provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bed liner and truck gear accessories. Catonsville Linex, located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W. Tire and Auto.
Stay connected. Listen on AM 680 or stream us on your PC, tablet, or phone at WCBM.com.
New frequency detected.
Mama, don't let your babies grow up to be cowards. Don't let them pick guitars and drive them old trucks. Make them be doctors and lawyers and such. Mama, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys. They'll never stay home and they're always alone. Even with someone they love.
All right, we're with Eric Bittner, who is the manager, the facility manager at the Albert Powell Hatchery. And Eric, talk a little bit about before we get into the stocking per se, talk a little bit about the other facilities that we have here in Maryland. And we had a facility that was shut down for a long time because of whirling disease and some other things. Are we back online with that one?
They're back online in Mattiki. That's correct.
That's in far western Maryland, right?
Yeah, that's out in southern Garrett County,
right.
out past Oakland,
right?
And they put a building up and now have circular tanks inside the building. Thinking it's either 12 or 14. I can't remember since the last time I was up there. But
right.
This will be the first year this spring. They've done some fish there and have had great results with them and stocked them out more for as bonus fish, but they're actually this spring they'll be held accountable for 15,000 fish.
So when you say bonus fish, you're talking about fall stocking programs and things.
Well,
like that.
It was just they used some for the fall, just whenever they were trying, working the kinks out.
I got it.
They weren't really held
test run.
We didn't want to put them online and
right.
as far as because. You never know what you're going to run into, especially when you first start something
new facility.
Like that.
Sure,
it's amazing, the things that come up.
I have no doubt in a big facility.
It's really doing good up there.
That's great. That's great. And then you mentioned another facility other than Albert Powell. You mentioned
Bear Creek.
Bear Creek, yes.
In Accident, Maryland, they're also up in Garrett County.
Right.
They get fingerling from us after. Stocking is pretty much over in
okay.
Middle of May. and we generally supply them with about 100,000 fingerlings,
mm-hmm.
and then they take them up and put them in the raceways and grow them out
mm-hmm.
for the fall and spring. They have a little more interesting and a lot more to deal with as far as weather compared to what we do. We're spring fed, so that what they call in the industry, we raise cookie cutter fish because our variables never change.
Right.
We always have a constant, temperature. We don't have to worry about fluctuation in temperatures and things like that. Where they're drawing off Bear Creek, the stream, and their ponds will actually freeze over through the winter months, which I'm sure they're probably freezing over right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have a lot more to deal with. They actually can't feed for a month or a month and a half through the winter at times.
Wow. So what do they do?
Well, the fish, they get a great growing season in the fall and right after the winter's over. So that's where they make their catch-up. They get ideal water temperatures, which is about 60 degrees for optimum growth.
Right. Well, what happens to the fish? The fish are there, though, but they're not being fed. Is that what you're saying?
Right. Yeah. They'll sit there for a month or so sometimes without being fed because the water's too cold or, like I said, it just froze over.
So, okay. Now, that's interesting that you said that. So these fish have an ability not to adapt to they are cold-blooded creatures, so they adapt mm-hmm. to their environment, of course, and they're
right.
basically the same temperature as the water. So if go ahead.
They'll almost completely shut down.
Yeah, other than breathe.
Yeah, their metabolism almost, I almost put it in the perspective of a bear going into hibernation.
Mm-hmm.
Their metabolism will slow down, and they can go a month without losing any body weight at all.
Really?
Yeah, they just shut down, and then until the food source is available, and the water temperatures pick back up. So those guys make their hay in the fall and early spring when
right.
they have ideal water temperatures. That's where they get just outstanding growth when they're fish.
Well, I guess so. I mean, and, you know, this is what we tell people all the time. Going into the cold weather, you know, these fish will feed aggressively. It's a great time to go fishing right before the coldest part of winter. And then in the
Absolutely.
Springtime, if you can find where the water's warmed up just a little bit, those fish are going to come up and feed actively where, you know.
Right.
And it's not always the deepest water where they think the most fish will be. It's usually the shallow part of the body of water where you're going to find the fish. And people to say, well, I mean, the fish are deep. Well, not necessarily, because that's where the cold water is. You want to find out where the water temperature varies a little higher by
right.
even just a couple of degrees. So you might want to fish shallower in the early spring than you would think.
Yeah, a few degrees can make a big difference
yep.
with trout. That's like when we stock them, like our water temperature on our trucks are 54 degrees.
Right.
And to take a fish and put it in the colder water, you typically don't have any issues. We've thrown fish in, and before we're pulling out, people are just pulling them out left and right.
Mm-hmm.
It's when you put them into a warmer water, they get lockjaw. It takes them a little longer to adapt to that. They don't like to go into that warmer water near as much as the colder water.
The colder water. Interesting.
Right.
Well, they've been living in that colder water, and you say your temperatures in their tanks are 54. What's the typical temperature in the hatchery?
The hatchery 54 too.
It is okay.
Yeah,
so
we just pull straight. We have a watering system tower there at the hatchery where we'll fill the tanks.
Right.
And it's 54. I mean, if you get extreme.
Oh, you're saying spring.
Spring
fed. That's what you were saying.
So, right. Yeah.
So you're
spring fed. We put about last year we did like 3,600 gallons a minute out of that spring, which was one of the higher. It typically averages about 3,000.
3,000
gallons. It's the largest spring in Maryland.
It is.
The main reason the facility's there.
Well, of course, yeah. That's fantastic.
And, it was put in 1947 by the U.S. Engineering Corps.
Army Corps of Engineers. Is that what you're talking
Correct.
About? Yep,
yeah.
Cool. Cool, man. I'll tell you what. This is fascinating, this stuff that you're telling me about all this. So let's talk a little bit about the stalking. You're the guy on the truck, right?
Most times, yeah. There's about five or six of us that we'll be out. Some mornings in spring, we'll have about four or five trucks there to load in the morning. Could be up to about 12 or 13,000 fish going out on certain mornings. It gets pretty hectic.
Pretty hectic, sure. That stocking schedule, I believe, is almost ready to be put out publicly, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, it went to print, and I think it should be available now for the public, the week of schedule.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't see it. I didn't see it come up online yet. So I'm guessing this coming week it's ready to go.
I would think so. Yeah, we're actually I'm hoping to try to get some preseason stuff done this early this week.
Yeah.
Maybe we're going to hit some locations since we're going to get this warm up. Take advantage of the weather and fish out.
Yeah, the access to the streams is always the issue after a big snow like this, isn't
it? Yeah, I'm hoping it melts down a little bit. We used to do preseason with a lot of the lakes, and we kind of switched it up here the last 2 years, and we're doing more of the streams and eliminated some of the lakes for preseason.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of guys like to go out and ice fish on them.
Right.
But there's always that risk of, the ice not being thick enough. And and putting them under the ice is always an issue.
Sure.
We've had to cut a hole in years past with a chainsaw.
Right.
And put them under the ice. And I've never really had any experienced any issues with it, but it's just a practice we decided to change. And,
got it.
Put them on the streams, and people were, at least that way, people were all accessible to be able to fish for them.
Right.
You know, with open waters.
Good point. Good point. The question is, how many fish are on the truck, and how many fish get dedicated to each location?
It varies depending on the body of water.
Mm-hmm.
It could be anywhere from 500 fish to some areas get 3,000.
And you just don't dump them all in one spot?
No, they spread them out. We get volunteers, and we'll bucket the fish to the streams if it's a long run away from the road, or we'll just run nets and throw the fish in and spread the fish out that way. And yeah, it's, most streams have upwards to in the teens, maybe 12 to 15 locations.
Right.
Where we stalk.
Okay.
And the ponds and that, we'll just. Some of those places we can back right up to the pond and just quick release them.
Right.
We got a 4-inch valve. We'll just open it up and shoot them out.
So the fish come shooting out of that valve. They think they're in a water park somewhere, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they got to love that.
I know I do.
You like being on the water park.
Yeah, it makes it quick to get them out.
Yeah, quick rush on that, on one for a little bit, and then boy, here we are. That's
right.
Pretty funny. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and then you got
like I said before, with the water temperatures, especially later when you get later into spring, a lot of smaller ponds are stocked early in the early spring, but you do still have some places, and water starts warming up, and the fish won't bite right away.
Right.
They'll delay with that water, and a lot of the guys sometimes get irritated saying that we fed the fish. Of course, I used to be one of those guys.
Right.
One time.
Right. Well, you got the truck followers, right?
What's that?
You have the guys that follow the trucks,
right? Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I love those guys.
Yeah?
Great guys. I've met a lot of really good friends over the course of the 23 years I've been there out on the stream.
Sure.
Always like, it's my favorite time of the year. And
well, you got to love it to do it.
Yeah, but they'll say we fed them, or we actually take them off food about 3 or 4 days prior to stalking the fish out.
Sure. Because well, you want people to catch them. That's the point, right? You want people to catch those
absolutely.
Fish.
Absolutely. Yeah. I enjoy staying there for a little bit and watching them start catching some out before we go.
That's pretty funny.
Everything's good to go. So,
hey, right here in the local area, are you guys stalking Westminster Community Pond this year?
Westminster, I'm not sure.
They redid that whole project last year. They drained that thing down and rebuilt it. I don't know if it's ready to go yet or not.
I don't know myself.
Okay.
I don't know if the regional managers have put that back on. I'm going to say no.
Okay.
But don't hold me to it.
All right. Well, we'll wait till the schedule comes out. So.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly if it's on this year or not. I don't think that it is, but
yeah.
That's not saying it isn't.
Got it. Okay. Now, I see here on your notes there were 3 locations that were converted to weekly stalking locations. Tell me about those.
Okay. We started one in Washington County. I guess we've been doing it now for 5 or 6 years, maybe a little bit longer. Things go by so quick. Where we stalk Devil's Backbone, Antietam Creek in Washington County.
Right.
We typically do it on Wednesdays every week through the spring.
and we've gotten really good results from it.
Mm-hmm.
We get, you know, it gives everybody a chance if they can call off that day or something, and they want to go hit the stream, they know it's going to be stalked.
Right.
And, we've been trying to get some other areas in different counties, you know, maybe one for each county opened up like that, and we were able to get a few more. It always comes down to personnel. We have such a tight window in the spring with stalking.
Sure.
Being able to hit a place every weekly, and, you know, it just comes down to the scheduling and that. But we were able to get three more places online. Bear Creek's going to do their stream right below their facility.
Right.
And I don't know if they're, I don't know if they plan on doing it the same day every week, but that's just how we did it.
Yeah.
Most guys like it. Some guys come up to us and ask us if we would just switch it up. But of course, if we switch it up, they want to know what they were switching up.
Of course, yeah, everybody wants to take an advantage.
That's
so.
Right.
All right, listen.
We just keep it on Wednesdays.
Eric, I'm gonna ask you to take a minute here. I just got to tell the folks about Clyde Sports Shop for a second. But
sure.
The question I want to ask you when we come back, and I don't know if you need any time on this, but if I live on the Eastern Shore or close to it, where am I gonna go trout fishing? But
okay.
You think about that, and I want to tell the folks about Clyde Sports Shop. Now, they're located at 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. Great sponsor. Been around almost 60 years, since 1957, as a matter of fact. They've been in there. And every year, there's always something new and exciting. Of course, they're your largest Browning dealer in Maryland. And what I want to talk about now, though, is the fact that they are gearing up for fishing season. Now is the time to get your rods and reels in there. Get them clean, get them lubed, get them ready to go, get your new line on. Don't wait till the season is here and then, you know, rush in there and expect them to give you first crack service, because, you know, everybody else is doing the same thing. Get it in there now. Get those guides repaired. Get those tips repaired. Get those reels stripped and cleaned and lubricated. They'll do it for a very, very reasonable fee and make your reels last a lot longer. And you can put fresh line on them and, you know, you're ready to go when fishing season's here. There's that 24-hour fishing hotline service, too. That is 247-3474. That's 410-247-FISH. You call that 24-hour hotline, and you'll get the fishing update that you need to go fishing. And don't forget, they carry live bait year-round. They've got all the fishing tackle. They're gearing up, of course, for the big rockfish season. But if you're going trout fishing, too, they've got all the trout baits, all the spinners, all the live bait, all the little twisters, everything you could possibly need for trout and panfish and crappies and everything else, the perch run and all that coming up here real soon. It's fishing season now. Go to Clyde Sports Shop, 410-242-6108, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road. You'll be glad you did.
The world's largest outdoor sports show is back. It's the Great American Outdoor Show, presented by Outdoor Channel, February 6th to the 14th in Harrisburg, with over 200 seminars from your favorite hunting and fishing pros, like Chris Brackett, Lee and Tiffany, Sean Grigsby, Heartland Bowhunter, Mike Iaconelli, Ish Monroe, Pigman, Matt Moret, and many more. Chase the adventure at the Great American Outdoor Show. Tickets on sale now at greatamericanoutdoorshow.org.
Hey, Alan Ellis here for Bay Linex at Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex spray-on bedliners. You know, Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one, and they carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex premium bedliner that looks great and offers UV protection, or the Linex Extra with Kevlar and paint match. You know what? Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more. These guys provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck like I did, the Linex bedliner, and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Of course, call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex, located 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800.
410-455-0800.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
This week on Fox News Sunday, you'll hear interviews with the top newsmakers of the week and analysis of the top news stories by our distinguished panel of political experts. This is Chris Wallace. Join me this Sunday at 5 p.m. on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Dragging the line. All right, Eric Bittner's here from the, he's a facilities manager at the Albert Powell Trout Hatchery up in Washington County, right, Eric?
Yes, there in Hagerstown, Maryland, right off exit 70.
Right off
Interstate 70.
Interstate 70. What's the exit there?
It's exit 35. Route 66 there at Boonesboro.
Route 66. Okay. Now, let me ask you, can people tour the facility up there if somebody was interested in that?
We're open to the public from 9 to 4:30, and we do take larger groups and give tours. We do a lot of Boy Scouts groups, and we have schools come in towards the end of their this spring session and come in for tours.
Here's a question for you. And you can answer if you want or you don't have to. We have a sport fish advisory committee here in Maryland that advises Fisheries Service on, you know, different things that it's considering as far as, regulations and that type of thing. Have the members of the sport fish advisory committee ever toured the facility?
Not to my knowledge. I don't remember, they may have come in on an individual basis and looked at the facility, but not to my knowledge as a group.
Gotcha. Yeah. I would think I've been in the Southern Maryland hatchery down there near
at Unicorn.
What's the other one?
Manning, maybe
down there on by the Patuxent. I went on a shocking trip, and then this is where they had the sturgeon, and they raised the shad.
Oh, yeah, down at Manning.
Manning, mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I've been on mm-hmm. tour of that facility, and I'll tell you, it's fascinating. It's fascinating to watch how things are done there. And they mm-hmm. do. I think they do a little bit more research as far as the stocking programs in Maryland on different species down there than you guys do at Albert Trout.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But, I mean, any of these facilities are fascinating to go and see what goes into, see what goes into the management of these species and put and take trouts. I mean, that's a big industry here in Maryland. I mean, that sells a lot of fishing licenses and they get a lot of people into the outdoors because,
yeah.
You know, the streams are local, you know, they access them and you got to have fish there to catch to keep people interested. And that's what you guys do.
Yeah, we've had people stop in at the hatchery and they said they've lived around there their whole life and drove by and never knew it was there. Then they come in and just are completely blown away by what goes on there that was right underneath their nose and never know about.
Exactly.
It.
Yep. Yeah. Exactly right. So
yeah, it's a very interesting. It's awesome work. It's something I've always wanted to get into as a young kid. I grew up in a stream. Would always get in trouble for coming home soaking wet all the time in the middle of winter.
Boy, that sounds like a familiar thing right there, buddy. I'll tell you. Yeah,
but I loved it. I loved it, and like I said, I was able to live out what I wanted to do. So
sure,
well, so pretty fortunate.
That is great. Now, you live in Washington County yourself, Eric?
I live in Flintstone in Allegheny.
Allegheny. Okay, so
yeah,
you're not far.
About an hour commute.
Gotcha. Way. You do any hunting while you're up there?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yep. Good.
Yep. Love the bow hunt.
Cool.
Do some gun hunting. had some really nice bucks around the yard here this past year. But to see them from the window, you could never see them from tree stand.
That's the way it always goes, isn't it?
That's right. Yeah, it was one of the more frustrating seasons I've had. I've really seen some really nice rack bucks around here this year, and I couldn't see anything from a tree stand.
Yeah, that's universal this year for some reason. A lot of guys are saying the same thing. So
it wasn't much feed.
Right. Yeah,
not a lot of acorns, but they must have found something because they weren't really moving around much. Pretty much everything was nocturnal.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of deer went nocturnal, and there's a stakeholders meeting coming up on Wednesday to determine the new regulations for the upcoming season, next two seasons. And it looks like there's a couple of proposals there that are going to get a lot of attention. And so we're just, I'm going to be there, and we'll let you folks know what's going on with that. That's for sure. So, but anyway, Eric, that was what did we not cover about your hatchery today?
One other thing is we have a satellite facility in Clear Spring. It's called our Cushwell facility, and we do some spring stocking out of there, as well as we have a fall stocking program. And our fall stocking program typically runs for 2 weeks, and usually the second and third week in October,
right?
Sometimes into the fourth week, where we do, I think we did like 23,000 fish this past fall.
Okay.
And we have some brown trout that we do hatch and raise up there. We actually hatched out 100,000 brown trout up there back in November.
Wow.
We use a small part of those, around 20,000 or so for production. The rest get put out into certain areas for put and grow.
Mm-hmm.
They take them to the North Branch and some other places, and they put them out as put and grow fish.
Now, what is a put and grow fish?
Put and grow is a fingerlings. When we grade through, we'll grade through our fish once stocking season's over, and I want a grader. And of course, we keep the larger fish. That's what we set up for production, the ones that are growing the best and growing the fastest. And then anything that's left over or leftover fish go out as put and grow. People might have been wondering, well, you're hatching 450,000 and you're saying you're stocking 335. Where's the rest of them?
Right.
The rest of them are what go out as put and grow fish, any extras.
So they go into the stream, and these are the holdover fish, so to speak.
Yeah, they're fingerlings, and they're usually running about 30 to the pound, maybe upwards to 60 to the pound. And the regional biologists have different areas that are not in the put and take areas,
right?
That they put these fish in, and then they'll go back and, like, you do electric shocking and
right.
Sampling, and they have great results with them.
That was my next question. What are the results of all these efforts?
Yeah, they have really good results. I don't know the numbers,
right?
Because, like I said, that's when the regional managers.
But, right.
I know they have good results with them.
Good, good. So you know you're not only putting fish out there for putting and take, but you're also putting fish out there to sustain the fishery as well.
Yeah, yes.
Sustainability, that's a big word these days.
We also do a lot of children's youth rodeos. They're typically on a Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
We did about 40 of them last year, and around 8,000 trout. And
wow.
They do them throughout the state. And we also
work with Letha Grimes on that?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Sure.
And Letha works on them. Kathy Beachley, she sets a lot of them up. They mail their requests in to her, and she
sure.
sets the dates up and everything.
Sure.
And then we also do a Wounded Warrior program. They have some Wounded Warrior rodeos, and we donate fish for those.
Nice.
And they do them. They're always, we always make sure we give them an ample amount of fish for those events.
It's all public outreach, isn't it? That's for sure. Yep.
Yeah.
Get people interested in fishing. You never know when that kid who catches his first trout at a rodeo, a free rodeo, what is the future for that kid? You know?
Absolutely.
You know, it may be.
It's memories they make for a lifetime.
Exactly. And it may be that one fish that he catches could lead him into a lifetime of fishing. Or it could lead him into a career path like yourself. You know, he could wind up being a fisheries biologist, a botanist, a water quality specialist. It could be anything. But it starts when you're young, you know, it really does. And, you know, like you said, you grew up wading the streams, as I did when I was a kid. I mean, I had 300 acres that I could roam. There was a stream that ran through it, and I caught, you know, minnows and shiners and chubs and crayfish and water snakes and all that stuff when I was a kid. And, you know, got me interested in the outdoors as you as well. And, you know, I don't know how old you are, Eric, but I personally wonder about our future generations, if they're going to be able to maintain and sustain our lifestyle, our heritage, our traditions, and that's why I do what I do. So,
I agree. We have another program that has really taken off. It's called Trout in the Classroom, and we have 110 classrooms this year, and they actually were here at the facility yesterday picking their eggs up. And what they do is they give each classroom about 200 eggs.
Wow.
And they get the opportunity to watch them hatch out, and they raise them, and then they'll stock them out, usually around the end of April or May. They have designated areas where they can put these fish out.
Send me an email on that, will you?
Sure. They're okay. Fifth and sixth graders. Chuck Dinkle is in charge of it.
Okay.
And, He's done an awesome job with it, and it's really, like I said, it's really taken off. And a lot of the local schools, it's pretty neat because they'll go out and stock their fish, and then they come to the facility, and then they get a larger. They get to go through a tour there at the hatchery and see exactly how everything works, and they can relate to it then. You know,
right. Right.
They've lived it for the last couple of months with these, you know, with these fish they had.
That's pretty cool. That is excellent. That is excellent.
Yeah,
so.
it's really taken off. It's unbelievable over the last few years how big it's gotten.
That's tremendous.
Which is a good thing.
Sure.
I love it. We ended up donating about 20,000 eggs this year.
Oh, man, that is
tremendous. And then we give them a little bit of food. It doesn't take much food for 200 fish. We'll give them a Ziploc bag of food, and the biggest thing is, you know, you don't want to overfeed them.
Exactly.
Better off to underfeed them than overfeed them.
Well, that's like any fish in it. That's like any captive fish. You don't want to overfeed it, that's for sure.
Right,
so,
yeah. It can create a lot more problems than it does good.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
That's one of the things we deal with. You know, like I said, we typically have to monitor our food and constantly adjust because you want to find balance there.
It's all about balance and water quality, pH, the whole deal, and that's your job. And we'll get into that maybe next time you come back, Eric. But there's the music. That means the show's getting ready to end, and I want to thank you for being with us this morning, man. I really enjoyed our conversation.
Yes, it was great. The hour went by quick.
It did.
I really enjoyed talking to you, Al.
All right, Eric. You take care, buddy.
Okay, you too.
Bye-bye. There he goes. Well, there's the music, folks.